It wasn't in McDonald's. It was in the belly of a fish. But there, confession was made unto salvation. He said it like it was in the past, confessing the scriptures. I prayed to the Lord. He's in the fish. I prayed to the Lord and he heard me. Well, hang on a minute, you're still in the fish. What do you mean he heard you? Surely the evidence of his hearing is when you've been vomited out. This is not what faith says. Faith says every utterance is heard. And we've talked about faith, how faith scaled the abyss with Christ down into death. This is what the prayer is all about, the belly of the whale. It's a type of the cross of Christ. And how Christ scaled the abyss to save us. Faith was with him. Faith was in him. And faith couldn't be held captive. And you see, if the prayer of faith be in Christ, death can't hold us. You see, death can't hold faith back. Even faith as small as a mustard seed, it moves mountains. It moves mountains. I'm going off my notes here, and I want to say five points, some of which we've gone through. And then, there's so much more, This prayer, firstly, what was it all about? Secondly, where? Thirdly, who? Fourthly, why? And fifthly, wow. Well, I want W's, you see. And the fifth, I was thinking, how can I get a... Well, I'm dyslexic, so I can just mix the letters around and it works, you see, so it's all right. So five W's, all right? But the last one's not quite a W, but there's a W in the word. What, where, who, why, and how. Or wow, all right? And we've really looked at these in quite some depth. Firstly, what was it all about? Well, the cry of Jonah, this prayer of Jonah, was really a prefiguring of Christ's death. Jesus referred to it, didn't he, in Matthew? All right. It really is a type of Christ's cry. Christ's cry that encompasses the cry of all humanity. How many cries going up, even in this moment, in war-torn areas, in famines, in the whole cry of humanity gathered up in Christ's cry. Why have you forsaken me? Christ forsaken, that we might be redeemed. Now, there were a number of cries on the cross, weren't there? But why have you forsaken me? Forsaken that we might be saved. So it encompasses all cries. And I tell you now, it encompasses your cry. The cry where you may be. You may not be in the belly of a fish. But I know you're somewhere. You may be not a lamb caught in a thicket somewhere. But I tell you, you're Jesus' lamb. And he hears your cry. And he leaves the 99 to come and rescue you. He hears it. Your cry. And I tell you the truth, if your cry be to him and in him, that cry of faith will see you right out. Just as that fish vomited Jonah up. Death couldn't hold Christ, the fish couldn't hold Jonah, and your circumstances can't hold you. But you see, Christ comes to deal with the inner state. I just think of that abyss and that fish and Jonah, and I think of the beginning. Right at the beginning of creation, what was on the face of the deep? Darkness. Jonah didn't have a light in the fish. It was dark. His soul was fainting. Right at the beginning, you see it prefigured. I'm not saying sin was there originally, but it's there in type, in picture, isn't it? The great deep and darkness, and God, he goes, there's some great ugly fish down there that I'm going to save. Have you seen those, you know, the ocean, deep down ocean, David Attenborough things, and some of the ugly fish down there? I mean, they're really pig ugly, really dodgy fish. But this is it, you see. You know, Jesus, he's like the Father's net, and the Father's like the great fisherman. And he cast his net that he might catch this glorious catch of fish. If you know what I mean, I'm a fish, pretty ugly one, down there in the deep. Had a little light gobbling up this one and gobbling up that one. You know those are pretty. But these pictures are great, aren't they? You see God rescuing. I've moved away from the what, where, what, what, W's. It was all about Christ. Where, that's where it is. But you know, actually, you see Jonah and his experience in the fish. Do you know what it really was? It was mirroring the state of his heart. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes the state and the environment that we're in really are just a mirror image of what's in the heart. And in order to change that which is outward, God has to change that which is inward. Once that which is inward is changed, then the outward can be changed. Do you know the reality is, though, when God changes your heart, you're like, okay, it's going to outwork itself, and that's great, but there's a joy in the heart, even amidst the adversity. But God changes that which is inward, plummets the depths of darkness. You know, you think about mountains. Mount Everest and all that. Think of the globe. Then you think of these peaks that come out above the water. For the earth is all surrounded with water, isn't it? And then the mountains and the land and the hills. And you know, you may in your life go, you know, I've got a few molehills. There are other globes that have great heights. Great mountains of morality. For me personally, I've got a few molehills of morality, if you like. You know, but some, or you know, or this mountain. Eric Clapton to me was a mountain of guitar. So that on the surface, these great heights that we get to, humanity. Do you know something, though? God had to do something deep. And right in the very beginning, the earth was surrounded with water, darkness on the face of the deep. And the truth is that there were mountains under the surface. It makes sense, doesn't it? Mountains. You see, we see these mountains here, but the great mountain. The ocean floor isn't just flat. Great caverns. Great You see, we see the surface, but what is underneath? What was underneath sunk the Titanic. And the truth is, unless what's underneath is dealt with, it will sink me and you. And this is what Christ came, he came to undo. There's some phrasing in this prayer, down to the moorings of the mountains. This is where Jonah went. But you see, this is where Jesus went. Right down to the moorings of the mountains. So those mountains, though they be hidden in the heart and life, though they be hidden, they're there. You may not see a lot on the surface, but underneath, great mountains that are holding you in check, down to the moorings of the mountains. You see, this is Jesus. He went, he plummeted the depths. He was made sin. He knows every thought. He knows every feeling. He knows every deed. He knows everything about sin. He was made it on the cross. And so there, the cross applied into the heart undoes the mountains, breaks them. Faith. Jesus said, faith. Faith is a mustard seed and cast a mountain into the sea. Jonah, down into the mountain. I love these links. These links in Scripture are amazing. He's undone the mountains. Though they be hidden, you may not even know they're there. I remember once going to meeting after meeting after meeting, and I don't know what is wrong, but something is wrong. I can't see anything on the outward. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm loving God. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But something is wrong. It's deep down inside of me. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. But something's not right. Every time I approach Jesus, every time the presence is there, I want to run away from it. There's something there, there's a blockage, there's unbelief or whatever it is, it's there and I can't get rid of it, I can't see it, I can't. You probably haven't felt that, I don't know, but I certainly have. When the presence of God is there, I want to run away. Why? God, I'm doing the mountains in the heart, liberating the moorings of the mountains. They're tied right down deep. You know, and we try and apply a little bit of psychology. Oh, yes, it works to a certain degree, but not in the things of these things of God's Spirit. Oh, we have put a plaster on and we do this and we try this and we try that. Some of us might dig a little deeper. Well, what was it in your past? And so the methods of man. Let's get under the surface, shall we? Oh, there's a lot. There. Psychology won't do it. It may undo a little. It may loose things a little. It might. But it can't get right down there where the moorings of your mountains are to loose. Jesus did. He's done it. And he's loosed it all. What's the reality? What's your reality? Well, there's mountains there, and I can't loose them. But faith. You see, the reality in Christ is you're free. Your reality may say something entirely different. But the truth is, you're free. And this is it, faith. It's there held in captivity. It was there with Jonah. Thank God he read those scriptures. It was there, and as he began to pray, I bet he wasn't silent in there. I bet he wasn't think praying down there. I bet he was praying with all his heart, all his mind. He wasn't reading it out of a book. Now, there was no Torah in his pocket that he could pull out down there in the fish as he was vomiting and going from consciousness to unconsciousness. And all the, he couldn't have pulled it out of his pocket and got his torch out. They didn't have torches in those days, did they? Didn't have batteries and all that, and they couldn't. Oh, but it was written in his heart. And at the time, out it came. I prayed to the Lord. And I wonder if in his mind he was referring, he was thinking to all these ones that had got themselves into such a pickle. And they prayed and God saved them. And he married himself up to, I prayed to the Lord, reciting scripture, but he wasn't just doing parroting it off. It was like, it was written in his heart. Prayer of faith. Death couldn't hold him. I won't do the noise effects. We're about to have communion. Oh, gosh. Prayer of faith. Pray, pray, pray. Pray. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not written in scripture for nothing. That I've written it. You're going to read it. You're going to read it. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Prayer of faith. Out. And there's so much in that prayer. I've gone away from the W's again. What's it all about, Jesus? Where? Doesn't matter. Still about Jesus. Who? Who's it about? It's about you, but really it's about Jesus. Why? Because of Jesus. Shall I rub that off? I'll edit that. No, but you know, it is really all about Jesus. And the sooner we make our life all about him, and our prayer all about him, you know, the sooner death vomits us up. We, some reality in spirit is outworked in the natural. Outworked in the natural. Well, we've done the five W's. Oh, how? Wow. How? That was the other one, wasn't it? Well, we've done that. We've said it, really. Do you know, scripture is so important. We talked about praying out loud, didn't we? Please, I really challenge you. I challenge you. I'm not looking at anyone in particular at all. I challenge you to pray out loud. If you've never done it before, just in the quietness of your home, and get into that habit of just praying out loud to Jesus. And just be real. That's all he wants. Just be real and pray out loud. And the other challenge, I would say, is if you get nothing else into you, get this book. Now, I know I've said this before. I probably said it last week. But there's a few new people, so that's good. Get it into you. Because like me, when the time comes and you feel like you're drifting off into oblivion, never to be seen again, this will be your anchor. Jonah in the belly of the fish, down into the depths, this was his anchor. But it wasn't just on the page, it was written to the heart. Read it and read it, and sometimes you'll go, oh, I'm reading this for, oh my goodness me, I just want to pick up a novel or watch a film or do something else. But read it, because I tell you what, faith works. Actually, the Spirit works with the Word. And if there's not a lot of Word in you, can I say that limits God's Spirit? Can I say that? It feels a little awkward to say it, but Spirit and Word, they work together. They come together. Word and Spirit. Well, let's break bread together.